So thank you very much, David. And thank you very much to Michelle for letting me give a talk and also for organizing this nice day of talk. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about, so this is a theoretical talk, and I'm going to be talking about a little bit about how we can understand these states called chiral spin liquids, which I'll describe, how they emerge in modern studies. So before I start, I'd just like to acknowledge my collaborators. My supervisor at the University of Toronto, Arun Farmakanti, who's away at the moment, so unfortunately couldn't be here. Then our Luca Shinsio, who was a postdoc here and is now at Los Alamos. And Zlatko Papaj, who was also a postdoc here, but now it. So in terms of what I'm going to talk about, first I'm going to give a little introduction to quantum spin liquids, just in general. Then I'm going to specialize to these particular types I'm interested in, which is chiral spin liquids. I'll talk about those. Then I'm going to talk about, kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about ordered states, a particular type of ordered state called a regular magnetic order. Then I want to talk about the kind of connection between these two that we want to conjecture, which is that these ordered states act as kind of parent states. I'll go through a couple different examples. Kagome, I won't talk about today, but I'll talk about the other lattice. So quantum spin liquids, so some of you are probably familiar with them. So they're quantum power magnets. So in real space, the spin-spin correlation is exponentially decay. So on the face of it, they seem kind of boring or maybe unexciting. But actually, they have what's kind of been dubbed topological order. There's no long-range order, but they have this kind of unusual, say, fractionalized quasi-particles, for example, like the spinons that Professor Sandberg talked about earlier. They also have a kind of long-range entanglement. This can be seen, for example, in the entanglement entropy that Chris talked about earlier. So they have a kind of correction to the area law, a universal correction. And so there's a lot of promising candidates for this kind of spin state. But unfortunately, kind of conclusive smoking gun proof is kind of lacking so far. And that's partly because these kinds of hallmarks, so this fractionized quasi-particles, long-range entanglement, are very difficult to probe in solid-state entanglement. Chris kind of alluded to earlier, it's extremely difficult to kind of access in any kind of solid-state system. You don't even access all atoms. And fractionized quasi-particles, again, it's difficult to really disentangle that because in any local probe will create pairs of these quasi-particles. So you have to kind of disentangle it. Despite that, they've been kind of, for the past 20 or 30 years, they've been highly influential in a number of different fields, originally high TC coupe rates, later in magnets, they have connections theoretically to things like quantum diamond models, lattice gauge theory, maybe with quantum computing. So they're extremely popular, and there's been a lot of work done on them. And there's different ways people have developed to kind of think about quantum spin liquids. The first and kind of ways from Anderson's original proposal in the 70s, in which you can think of this as a square lattice where you have singlet bonds on the square lattice. And you can think of the quantum spin liquid wave function as being some kind of superposition of all of the different kind of coverings of the square lattice. So my total wave function is some, you know, it's kind of this configuration of adding the lattice with singlets, plus this one, plus all different kind of combinations. So it has some kind of, you know, large macroscopic superposition of states. So that's one way and kind of the original way of thinking about these spin liquid states. For this particular talk, I want to take maybe a little bit of a different view. And so I want to think about spin liquids coming from ordered states. So I want to think about starting with some ordered magnetic or valence bond state. Then I want to think about kind of frustrating, so tuning some parameters of my Hamiltonian, maybe by, you know, pressure or something like that, and frustrating that order. So then it might be that a frustration is strong enough and quantum fluctuation is strong enough. That actually the magnetic or valence bond order melts, and I get a kind of liquid-like state of these spins, and that may be a quantum spin liquid, so it may have the kind of unusual hallmark. This is an example, say, melting a spin spiral in a square lattice. So obviously this doesn't work for every single state. Most ordered states, by tuning the Hamiltonian, will transition to some other ordered state. Okay, so you're not guaranteed to get a liquid-like. So that's how we kind of want to think about spin liquids. So for this talk, I'm thinking about these special spin liquids, which are chiral spin liquids. These are spin liquids that have broken time reversal symmetry. So they're called chiral because they have a non-zero scalar spin chirality. So this S dot S cross S on three different sites is non-zero. And so there's actually a kind of a neat way of thinking about these states. This is in a spin system, so it's a spin half system. And so there's actually a mapping between a spin half system and Hartree bosons. So these you can think of as bosons on a lattice where the interaction between bosons is basically infinite. So basically, you can only have one boson per site or zero bosons per site. So then I can think about, say, so I have a two-state Hilbert space here and a two-state Hilbert space here. Or I can think about spin up as being having occupied one boson, spin down having zero bosons. So then if I have a singlet state, so something that has, say, SC total equals zero, I have as many up spins as down spins. And so in terms of boson language, it means I have as many, you know, filled sites as empty sites. So it means that I'm at half filling of this boson system. So they can ask, what does the spin liquid here in the spin system translate to in boson language? And so this chiral spin liquid is just a n equals half fractional Kolmogorov state of these bosons. So if you're familiar with fractional Kolmogorov physics, this chiral spin liquid really has all of the same universal properties that the fractional Kolmogorov states do. So in particular, this chiral spin liquid, its universal properties can be described by n equals half bosonic Laughlin state. So it has all the properties of the Laughlin state, all the universal properties. So for example, in this particular case, I'll be showing numerical data later, which is on a torus, so periodic boundary conditions in both directions. And so one of the key characteristics is that it has a twofold ground state degeneracy on a torus with some special quantum numbers for those states. And we'll see that later in the numerical data. So I've described these states. And so then the question is, and I'll mention later that there's been a lot of work done on these recently, in the past, say, 5 to 10 years. But we kind of really don't understand very well kind of how do these phases emerge. In particular, kind of there's various spin liquids found in different, parallel spin liquids found in different spin models, in different lattices, which seem maybe disconnected. And so we want to think about, is there some sort of common mechanism that actually unites these different spin liquids into some sort of unifying framework that gives us a handle then on how they appear, then might guide us, say, an experiment to how we might realize. That's the kind of goal. So to think about this, I'm going to switch gears slightly and think about ordered states. Because like I said, I wanted to think about these spin liquids as arising from melting or frustrating some sort of ordered state. Then the question is, what ordered states should I start with? So if I want a chiral spin liquid, I want some sort of chiral magnetic state. So I want a magnetic state that is ordered and has a non-zero S dot S cross S, so it's chiral. And I'm going to kind of conjecture that the correct kind of chiral states to look at are what are termed regular magnetic orders. So what is a regular magnetic order? It's a magnetic state that respects all lattice symmetries modulo global spin transformation. So what does that mean? It means that if I perform a lattice symmetry, so say like a lattice rotation, I can always follow that up by a global spin transformation, and I'll get back to the same state. So as an example here, on the square lattice, I can think about a coplanar spiral. So these are, say, spins are all in the XY plane, and the pattern on the lattice like this. So now I can think about doing a lattice symmetry on this state. So for example, I could think about doing, say, a rotation, before rotation, about say, the center site. Okay, you can probably see that this is the green and purple stay the same, but the red and blue, the locations have been switched around. But then I can undo that by just flipping red and blue. In other words, I can do a high rotation about the y-axis. This will flip red and blue, and now these two states are really the same. I just relabel the colors, and you see that I have the same thing here. So these states are special in the sense that any lattice rotations, sorry, lattice symmetry operations can always be kind of undone in some sense by a spin transformation. So why is that interesting, or why might we be interested in these states? It's because if I have a state like this, and I kind of melt it, so I restore spin rotational symmetry, that means I'll be left with a state that doesn't break any symmetries at all. Because it only broke these lattice symmetries modulo these global spin transformations, so if I restore spin rotational symmetry, I'll be left with a fully symmetric state. And a fully symmetric spin state very much sounds like a starting point for spin liquids. The spin liquids we generally think of as being ground states that don't break any symmetry at all. So these regular magnetic orders, you know, we're kind of conjecturing are kind of good starting points for thinking about spin liquid. And this was, you know, I should, this is not the first people to think about this. The people who coined this term regular magnetic order, who I'll mention slide, this group here, Laura Messier and others, they also had the same idea that here they, you know, were thinking about classical magnetic orders, but again, they mentioned that, you know, these are good starting points for thinking about. Okay, so in this reference here, they constructed all of the classical magnetic orders on all of the different 2D lattices. So the Kagome work in progress, so I want to focus here. I'll just go through the three examples. So like I said, we want a chiral state. Some of the regular magnetic orders are coplanar or collinear, so those aren't good starting points for chiral state. So that actually cuts down a lot the possibilities. So on the honeycomb lattice and the triangle lattice, there's just two chiral or non-coplanar magnetic states that are regular magnetic orders. If we also require that they have net zero magnetism. That's this tetrahedral state on the honeycomb and triangular. So there's four, the spins on the lattice point towards the four corners of a tetrahedron, and they're kind of piled along the lattice that way. And this is the what the spin structure factor looks like. On the square lattice, there's actually no non-coplanar state. That's a regular magnetic order. However, if we break C4 symmetry on the square lattice, then this tetrahedral umbrella state, which you can kind of see is similar to these tetrahedral states, but it kind of interpolates between a nail state. So if this blue and pink arrow join up, and this green and red arrow join up, you get a nail state. Whereas if this blue and pink arrow kind of spread out, and the same for this green and red, then you get a coplanar spiral, which is exactly the state I had in the previous slide. So this kind of interpolates between the nail and coplanar spiral, and somewhere in between is exactly the same as these tetrahedral states. So in other words, all of these states are essentially this tetrahedral kind of state. And so we want to think about this tetrahedral non-coplanar state as being the kind of parent state that we're going to take. It's going to be the grand state of a Hamiltonian. We're going to frustrate the Hamiltonian. We're going to melt this magnetic state, and we're going to see, you know, whether the state that we end up with is a kind of chiral spin liquid. So that's the motivation. I'll summarize that slide. These kind of two pieces of information are kind of what's motivating this question at the bottom. So the regular magnetic orders, all these different lattices have been constructed, so we know what they are. We can look them up in this beautiful paper. Another piece of information that is in recent years, spin models that have power spin liquid grand states have been found for all of these lattices as well. And so then the kind of question we're asking is that, is there a connection between these? In particular, can these chiral spin liquid states that have been found, can they naturally be understood as kind of quantum disordered regular magnetic orders? In this case, quantum distorted, basically tetrahedral state. So to answer that question, we have to look at we're going to look at different models on the different lattices and see if we get these states. And in particular, we want to see what the transition looks first order. So the kind of model Hamiltonians we'll be looking with will be just some combination of Heisenberg terms, S.S, and this S.S plus S term. So we're going to explicitly put this in the Hamiltonian. So we're going to, by hand, break time reversal symmetry. So time reversal sends S minus S. So because this is like S cubed, S going to minus S, we'll pick up a minus sign here. So this term breaks time reversal. If we derive this, say, from a Hubbard model, these Heisenberg terms would look to be proportional to Hopping squared divided by the Hubbard interaction U. These chiral terms are proportional to t cubed divided by u squared times the sine of the flux. So if I have, say, this is say, three sites in my lattice, and if they enclose some non-zero flux phi, then I'll naturally get in, you know, if I start from a Hubbard model, I think about looking at the strongly interacting limit, I'll naturally generate a spin term that looks like this s dot s plus s. The three different cases I'm going to be looking at are the square lattice, triangular lattice, honeycomb lattice. These are just, the details here are not important, but these are just taken from these papers. where all of these works have found spin liquid states on these papers, in these particular models, the awesome variant of this, you know, Heisenberg plus chiral Hamilton. In particular, this one here, which we studied here, this is actually the, you take the Haldane model that Hayoung mentioned in previous talks. So that was a honeycomb model and had hopping with some fluxes. So if you take that model and you add a Hubbert interaction, you go to the large U limit and you derive the spin model that you get, and then you actually naturally get a spin model exactly like this. So Heisenberg plus a chiral term, and if you look at the phase diagram there, you actually get a chiral spin liquid state adjacent to a tetrahedral state. So that's one example that realizes kind of this, one example of hopping Hamiltonian that realizes kind of spin. The other cases are just models, they're not derived in any sense from a Hubbert model. Okay, so these are the kind of modeled Hamiltonians we want to look at. So we know that for the honeycomb case, there's a tetrahedral state and a chiral spin liquid state adjacent. From later work by Andreas Stoutis' group, we also know in the triangular lattice that there's a chiral spin liquid and this red is the tetrahedral state. So again, they're adjacent to one another. This plot is not very helpful because I didn't put the axis very well. But this is from my Ignacio Serac's group. And there they also found a chiral spin liquid on the square lattice, although in that case they didn't connect it to any magnetic order. So we have these models. We know that they realize chiral spin liquid states. We know that they realize these magnetically ordered tetrahedral states. So now we want to look at, you know, what happens when we go from one state to the next. And so to do that, we're going to look at a couple of different numerical signatures. And essentially what we're interested in is that whether anything sharp happens as we transition from one state to the next. Because if we really want to think about melting this magnetic order, it could be kind of a smooth transition. So if we see very sharp signatures in our numeric, very sharp changes in the chirality or in the wave function, et cetera, then that's much more indicative of, say, a first order transition. And so it's much more unlikely that these states are really smoothly connected. So from numerics, some things we can look at, see whether we have an ordered state or a spin liquid, would be things like the static spin structure factor, so just the Fourier transform of the spin-spin correlation. We can also look at, so this may be unfamiliar to some people, but this is the, what's called the Grand State fidelity. So I take, this is the wave function, so this is the, in this particular case, I do exact diagonalization, I get the Grand State wave function, and it's, a parameter, it's G here is some tuning parameter. So say it could be one of the J's, for example, so in my Hamiltonian. And what this function is saying is that I take my wave function at value G, and my wave function at value G plus delta G, and I just take the overlap. Okay? So I take the overlap basically of the wave function at successive values of this parameter. So why do I have a sum here? That's because in the spin liquid state, I said that it's like a Laughlin state. So on the torus, there's the grand state is actually twofold degenerate. So we actually want to look at not just the one grand state, but both grand states. So here, this I equals 1 to n. In our case, n is 2. So there'll be two different grand states to look at. And we're going to take the overlap at successive points and also look at its numerical second derivative. And so this kind of fidelity measure has been shown to be a good indicator of phase transition in numerical studies. I can imagine, for example, that if I have a first order transition that normally appears when one eigenstate crosses another eigenstate. And in that particular case, this fidelity will go to zero because on one side of the transition, I'll have one eigenstate, on the other side of the transition, I'll have a completely different state. So the overlap will be zero. And so this F will go to zero. And whereas for a smooth continuous transition, you expect this overlap to basically be very close to one, have a small. So both of these things can be accessed with an exact diagonalization. And I should mention, Anders Sandvik actually has an extremely beautiful set of notes, which you can find on the archive, on doing exact diagonalization, which I highly recommend. That's how I learned that. So some other things we could look at, which I'll show, would be the entanglement spectrum. So again, this is slightly maybe obscure measure, which I won't kind of go into details of how it's defined, but I'll just say that it's believed to mimic the kind of physical edge spectrum. So we'll use this, we'll conjectured, and we'll take that conjecture as true. And so we'll use this to, we'll take this basically as the physical edge vector. Another thing that, again, is a slightly esoteric, not really experimental, experimentally realizable parameter, but we can measure something called the total quantum dimension. So essentially, I just take my wave function, and I just, so R here is some rotation. So say a lattice rotation by 2 pi over 3 or 4, depending on the lattice. So I just take, so if I rotate, say, my ground state, I'll pick up some phase. Then if I take the absolute value, I'll just get 1 if it's a binary ordered state. But for spin liquids, they have this kind of unusual topological order. And so instead of actually getting 1, I actually get 1 over this value d, which is kind of, it kind of characterizes the kind of spin liquid I have. And it's actually related to what Chris was talking about earlier, entanglement entropy correction is actually related to d. So this is another way of getting enough entanglement entropy. But calculating this rotation overlap state. So these are kind of slightly more esoteric quantities, and these are going to be accessed with a slightly more esoteric technique, which is density matrix renormalization. So it's a numerical technique that's designed for one-dimensional systems, but can be used for two-dimensional. Okay, so I have about 5 minutes left, so I'll just kind of go through these results. Maybe a little quickly. I mean, the exact details are not so important. I should also mention that we've calculated many other things. In the interest of time, I just show kind of a subset. So for example, I'll start with the honeycomb lattice. So here we're going to take a model that's like J1, J2, and J3. So these are the Heisenberg terms. And there's also this J chi, this chiral term, that's S dot S cross S on this triangle. And if we tune J3, so this third nearest neighbor coupling, we can go from a tetrahedral state at small J3 a chiral spin liquid at larger J3. If we look at, say, the static spin structure factor, in the ordered state, there are large peaks at the endpoints, which are the ordering wave vectors for this particular tetrahedral state, whereas in the spin liquid and the structure factor, there's no peaks at all. It's extremely extremely flat, and which is indicative of a disordered state. So it looks like here we have two different states, so we can ask what happens in between. So if we look at, say, the energy of the state, so the blue and red are the energies from an exact energization study. This black line is the energy taken from this DMRG study. We can see that they're both smooth as a function of J3. So as we go from here to here, there's no kind of kink or anything like that. Similarly, if we take this, these red lines here are the wave function overlap at successive points. And it's very close to 1. So actually, this red lines are here. It's extremely close to 1. So again, the wave function almost, there's no sharp changes in the wave function as we go from this ordered state to this. If we plot this black line here as the second derivative of this curve here, so here we see a small peak. So there is a transition, but it's extremely smooth. So that's kind of evidence, we're taking as evidence, that there's a kind of, you can take start in this ordered state, push straight to Hamiltonian, and smoothly melt away the magnetic order and be left with this chiral liquid-like state that has the topological properties you expect. So that's really the main message. So in the interest of time, these other results are kind of more, you can ask me about it afterwards, but we can measure many other things like the entanglement spectrum. We can also look at the triangular lattice. Again, here there's a tetrahedral state. This time I'm tuning J2 next to stable Heisenberg. In this ordered state, in this structure factor, there's a well-defined drag peak, the ordering wave vectors. In the liquid-like state, flat and featureless. And again, as we go from one state to the other, this is the energy. There's no kinks or anything. The energy is completely smooth. These red lines are, again, this wave function overlap. So again, there's absolutely no change in the wave function almost. Except in the second derivative, there's a smooth bump. So again, it looks like that these are continuously connected to one another through a continuous transition. This is entanglement over. And then lastly, the square lattice. Similar story, really. I start with some spin liquid state here. You can see the structure factor is actually completely featureless. really vicious. Whereas in this order state, I have kind of sharp drag peaks here at pi pi, smaller peaks here at pi zero and zero pi, which kind of increase as I go along this line. So again, this is indicating that there's a smooth transition between these two. And again, the energies are smooth and this overlap. Okay, I'll conclude. So what's the kind of take-home message? So I talked about these spin liquid states and these special kind of spin liquid states, these chiral spin liquid states. And the question we want to ask was, you know, how do these emerge in modern state systems, so in spin models? And so the story I want to say is that these kind of emerge by melting these regular magnetic orders. So we start with a very particular type of magnetically ordered state. We frustrate it somehow, melt away that magnetic order, and we're left with this liquid-like spirals. So this is a kind of unifying framework to understand the emergence of these spin liquids in kind of any kind of local spin ball. And so it kind of ties together a lot of recent results in recent years under kind of one umbrella framework. So then one can okay, naturally a couple other questions for future work that we can ask. So here I've been just talking about 2D systems. I maybe specified that earlier. But we can think about 3D generalizations. So if I take a three-dimensional magnetic order, a regular magnetic order, and I melt it, what kind of chiral or three-dimensional spin liquid can I get? And actually, there's a paper that appeared in the archive just the day before ours, which I think Michelle is working on, which actually kind of claims exactly that. So they start with some, this is a theoretical paper, it claimed that that you can start with some magnetically ordered 3D state, melt it, and get a liquid-like state that's chiral. One can also generalize not to just the three dimensions, but the higher spin. This is because higher spin chiral spin liquids actually have a much more unusual topological nature for the non-abelian particles. And then one could also maybe relate it to Skirmion crystals, which also kind of triple Q states, very similar to these tetrahedrals I've talked about, except kind of more spaced out. So then one can think about taking a Skirmion crystal and whether you can kind of quantum melt it. So that would be another interesting. So yeah, thank you very much.
Have some questions?
Hi. So in the first two models that you showed, the honeycomb and the square lattice, your energies right here. So the exact diagonalization and the DMRG, all three of them are different. So why is that?
So the exact diagonalization doesn't have a finite size system. So this granted the generics I talked about is only for an infinite system. So in any finite size system, you'll get a quasi twofold degenerate ground state rather than a real twofold degenerate ground state. So the splitting is because of that. So you can see that as you go into the spin liquid region, so over here, the spacing between them gets smaller and smaller. And if I was able to go to larger and larger systems, you can see that the spacing again decreases smaller and smaller. So the true twofold ground state degeneracy only occurs in the infinite size. And this DMRG is done in a slightly different geometry to the exact diagonalization, also with slightly different system size. So again, it doesn't have exactly the same energy as the others. But again, in the spin liquid region, with finite size scaling, these should all converge to the same.
Other question?
Is the true statement that all the quantum spin liquids has a regular magnetic order pattern?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so here I focus specifically on these particular type of chiral spin liquids. So for other kinds of spin liquids, it's not entirely clear. So I mean, it's kind of near the beginning. In the early 90s, it was kind of theorized that Z2 quantum spin liquids, which is one of the most popular kind of quantum spin liquid, can be realized by starting from a square lattice coplanar spiral state. and kind of melting that state, and you would get a liquid. I think that was theoretically kind of posed, but I'm not sure if it's numerically kind of what is this evidence of that. So yeah, I'm not sure if it's, I mean, I'm certainly not going to claim that it's true for all spin liquids. I think for this special type of, I mean, also these are two-dimensional gap spin liquids, so it's a subclass of, you know, what we generally call quantum spin liquids. So for this very special subclass, two-dimensional gap spin liquids that are chiral, I you know, think that there are relatively many order of parent states, but I don't think that's true in general for any kind of spin liquid. So for example, like these say 3D, you know, quantum spin ice, you know, materials, I'm not sure if you can understand them the same. So I'm making a less ambitious claim, which is just that the story kind of is for this subclass.
Any other questions? Okay.
So if I were to study these models classically on each of these lattices, what would I expect to see in the chiral spin liquid phase?
Yeah, that's a great question. So classically you also get a tetrahedral state and a nail state here. In the chiral spin liquid state, it's kind of pretty complicated actually. I'm not exactly sure what to call it, but it's a kind of complicated magnetic structure. It has, say, 16 Bragg peaks in its static. Again, it's non-coplanar, but quite complicated. For the triangle lattice, again, you have a tetrahedral here. You have 120 down here. There's also, I think, tetrahedral. So, from my head, I can't quite remember. For the square lattice, you'll get some sort of, distorted kind of tetrahedral-like state as well. But again, it depends exactly kind of where you are in the phase diagram that I do. But in general, you get some kind of tetrahedral state usually. Just these boundaries are basically kind of most of these ordered states, the boundaries kind of just feed into this. It's really only in this case that you see a different kind of magnetic state.
Okay, so while Jonathan sets up, I'm just going to ask one other question that you. Are there good experimental candidates for these chiral spin liquid states?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Yeah. So, I mean, I briefly mentioned at the end this three-dimensional case, which is this. So that was a theoretical proposal for an.
Why don't you just talk about it without showing the picture so Jonathan can set up?
Yeah. Okay.
Why don't you plug in your talk?
So in that case, there's a material whose name I forget. I think Bruce might have actually. Data on this. So in that case, so the theoretical proposal is that three-dimensional magnetic state could be like a liquid-like chiral state. For two dimensions, it's less clear, so there's no really surefire experimental candidate at the moment. A large part of that is because a lot of the cases that I showed, the way in which I kind of most easily stabilized it was by adding this chiral term, this free spin term. But that only arises, like I said, if you have kind of fluxes.